But God's prophecies are specific, and God's word is reliable. And if God says these bones shall live, they will live.
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening's broadcast is the concluding part of Pastor Brian Grant's Father's Day message that answers the question, is the Bible really reliable? Last week, we heard one proof of the Bible's reliability is its indestructibility. In spite of Satan's hatred of God's word, his attempts to destroy it have always failed. Secondly, we heard how the Bible is proven reliable by its historic and geographic accuracy. And thirdly, we heard how the Bible is proven reliable by its prophetic accuracy. This is where we pick up the message this evening. Here again is Pastor Grant with the conclusion of, is the Bible really reliable?
From all appearances, there was little hope of Israel ever becoming a nation again. They were scattered everywhere, but the Bible had prophesied the rebirth of Israel. Look with me to Ezekiel chapter 37, and I'm going to just pick a few verses to read to you. Let me read from verse number 1. It says, "The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out of the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed there were some very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live?" Verse 11. "Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are who? The whole house of Israel." The bones are the Jewish nation. "They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Can these dry bones live?" Jump to verse 21. Here's what God says through the prophet Isaiah. "Thus says the Lord, surely I will take the children of Israel from among the nations, wherever they have gone, and will gather them from every side and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land on the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king over them, and they shall no longer be two nations." Let me just stop there. This incredible prophecy may have seemed far-fetched, particularly after Hitler's Holocaust against the Jews in 1941 to 1945. And I know sometimes some of us want to make it seem like the experiences we had were very similar to the experience of the Jews. But I want to tell you what the Jews experienced was incredibly intense. During this period, 6 million Jews in Europe were killed. Two-thirds of all the Jews, two-thirds, were exterminated brutally. Cheryl and I were driving in Budapest along the banks of the river Danube when she noticed that a lot of people had left their shoes by the Danube. And after we drove for a couple miles, we realized this couldn't be people just leaving their shoes. And we noticed that these shoes were actually attached to the ground. These were not real shoes. They were statues. It was a memorial, because what the Germans had done, they had lined up the Jewish people along day after day. The Jews were lined up and they were facing the Danube, and the soldiers would just come along and shoot every Jew in their back so they'd fall into the Danube River and die and be washed away. The incredible brutality, so many were killed. Can these bones live? But God's prophecies are specific, and God's word is reliable. And if God says these bones shall live, they will live. My friend, on May 15, 1948, God did the seemingly impossible for almost 1900 years after they had been scattered around the world. Israel became a nation again. Can you imagine this? Almost immediately after World War II, when it seemed that lights were out, Israel became a nation again. God had gathered Israel back into their own land exactly as Ezekiel had prophesied 2,500 years early. And I asked the question, isn't God amazing? Oh, what I love to go to Israel, because it's incredible that in just since 1948, they have put together this incredible nation. And it's not because of them. It's because of the Almighty God, whose word is reliable. Young people, I hope you're listening to me. This word is reliable. You can bank your life on God's word. It is reliable. God's prophecies are accurate to the detail. By the way, Ezekiel's prophecy is only partially fulfilled, for its ultimate fulfillment will take place during the millennial reign of Christ. For one day, Jesus Christ will return to earth with his church. Hallelujah. The Lord is going to snatch us away. Those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible talks about the rapture. We're going to be snatched away. If Jesus comes today, are you ready? Come on now. Sir, if Jesus comes today, are you ready? Will you be snatched away? But after the rapture and the marriage supper of the Lamb, the Bible tells us we're going to be actually brought back here. We're going to come and we're going to actually put our foot on terra firma with the Lord Jesus, and we're going to reign for 1,000 years on earth. After that 1,000 years, the Lord Jesus is going to take us to his Father's house. His Father's house, many mansions, and we're going to be with Jesus in heaven for all eternity. Aren't you glad to know Jesus? Oh, the best is yet to be for the people of God. Oh, my time is running. I know you're going to give me some extra time, because you can see I gave you some extra stories that were not in the text. But listen, here's the second prophecy. There are so many, but the precision of the prophecies are unbelievable. Wasn't what I just shared incredible? But here's the second one. Write this down. The 300 specific prophecies concerning Christ. Did you know that the Old Testament has over 300 prophecies about the birth and death of Jesus? Let me just give you one of them. Just one. This is extra. Again, this was not in my plans. But let's look at Isaiah chapter 7. This is one that you know, but I just want to squeeze it in so you know what I'm talking about. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, it says here, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. 300 specific prophecies about the birth and death of Jesus. From a mathematical, some of you know I'm a mathematics person. From a mathematical perspective, the probability of 300 birth and death predictions being fulfilled in one person is staggering. Particularly some of these predictions were made 1,000 years before Jesus was born. Just pause a second. If somebody made a prediction, assuming Jesus doesn't come, how many people are willing to predict who is going to be voted as president of the United States 1,000 years from now? And tell us which state they were born in. Tell us about their mom. Tell us about whether they're going to be assassinated. Who's going to do that? That's just one prophecy. You know, sometimes we don't realize how incredible the Bible is. to make these type of predictions. So a professor at Westman College, he picked 8 of the 300. I just want to park here for a second. Everybody's awake still? If you're awake, say amen.
Amen.
If you're asleep, say hallelujah. A professor at Westman College picked just 8 of the prophecies about Jesus and had a team of math experts calculate the probability they could be fulfilled in one person. I'm going to put the results on the screen. The probability of the 8 prophecies concerning Jesus being fulfilled in one person is 10. And in case you don't know what that little thing means, it's to the 127th power. 10 to the 157. Man, that's so wrong. 10 to the 157. That's the right answer. 10 to the 157th power. Let me decode it for you. Can anybody know what that means? Let me give you an idea. 10 to the 15th power is a quadrillion. You know what's a quadrillion? A quadrillion is 1,000 billion. All right? So a quadrillion is 150 times the number of people on the earth right now. All right? That's 10 to the 15th power. So what is 10 to the 157th power? The math team decided the only way they could help us is to give us an illustration, and I'm getting them this straight from the research. It said, if you cover the entire state of Texas with silver dollars, packed together, no spaces, the entire state of Texas, silver dollars, 2 feet deep. That's a lot of silver dollars. Texas is a big state. Cover Texas with silver dollars, 2 feet deep. Stir up the pile. Mark $1. Just mark one. Blindfold a man and tell him to go through Texas with these 2 feet of silver dollars and find blindfolded the silver dollar. That's 10 to the 157th power. So I just want to ask you, how many of you believe the blindfolded man can find it? Let me see your hand. Those of you who believe it. I figured there would have been at least one person who needed prayer, but I see nobody. That's only 10 to the 157th. That's 10 to the 157th power. But here's the point I want to make. That was only 8 of the prophecies. The study was only done on 8 of the 300 prophecies. And they're saying the probability that 8 of these prophecies was fulfilled. So I would imagine if it was 10 to the 157th, the man would have to search the entire universe to find this silver dollar. Can I ask you to write this in your notes? The Bible's prophetic accuracy concerning Jesus is so amazing, it renders absurd any explanation other than divine revelation. Could somebody agree with me this morning? What other than divine revelation could explain the fact that these 300 prophecies concerning Jesus could have been fulfilled to their exact precision? And I'm here to say this morning, and to those listening on the internet or by radio, anyone who believes that it was just by chance that Jesus fulfilled all 300 prophecies concerning him is someone who does not want to believe the obvious truth. There is no other book like the Bible. the vague and often erroneous prophecies of people like Gene Dixon and Nostradamus and religious books like the Quran are not in the same category. So if you are being influenced by somebody, some nice little cute little guy, and he's trying to influence you to follow the Quran, I want you to know that the Bible is in a class by itself. Put this down. The Bible could accurately give 300 prophecies concerning the coming Christ only because it was written by God, the only one with perfect knowledge about the future. I'm so glad I know him. Do you know him? The Bible is reliable because of its instructability. Don't worry, I'm going to land this plane very soon. The Bible is reliable because of its indestructibility and because of its historic, geographic, and prophetic accuracy. But fourth and finally, the Bible is reliable because of its divine authorship. Its divine authorship. Let me put on the screen two of the verses that Makai read earlier in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. And we're going to put it on the screen in the New Living Translation. And here's how it reads. Above all, you must realize that no prophecy in Scripture ever came from the prophet's own understanding or from human initiative. No, those prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit and they spoke from God. Don't miss that. They spoke from God. So here's something else to add to your notes. God is the author of the Bible. He superintended the men who he inspired to write the Bible. So they wrote exactly what he intended. Oh, this is, I am giving you here a simple definition of inspiration. I hope you'll hold on to this. God superintended the men who he inspired to write the Bible. So they wrote exactly what he intended. They used their own styles. But through the power of the Spirit, get this, God determined the content and ensured nothing was inserted. And God wanted left out. And God made sure that nothing was left out that he wanted in. People say, how could God do that? Well, are we forgetting he's the one who made the world out of nothing? This Almighty God who made the world out of nothing, he made men write the Bible under his superintendence, to put in it exactly what he wanted and to leave out anything he did not want. God wrote the Bible. You can put that down. God wrote the Bible. I think that's in your notes. That's why it is indestructible. God wrote the Bible. That's why everything in it is accurate. And since God wrote the Bible, you and I had better pay attention to what it says. Don't miss this last, what I just said. If God wrote the Bible, we had better pay attention. And so this Father's Day, fathers, here's something he wants all of us fathers to pay attention to. Ephesians chapter 6. Let's go right back there. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 4. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the word. Bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. And Daddy, I want to ask you, are you doing this?
You know, sometimes if we're not careful, we daddies do the first part, but not the second. We provoke them to anger. We provoke them to wrath. Sometimes by our behavior, sometimes because we're missing in action. We don't have time for them. We're so busy. Busy doing what? We provoke them to anger, but spend little time training and admonishing them in the word of the Lord. Fathers, it's time for a change. Amen? And moms, it's time for a change. I pray that all of us, you know, if you decided to go to the link one Sunday, and I close with this, to watch football, nothing would happen if no one brought a football. They could put on all the pads they wanted, but nothing would happen because everything in the game is dependent on that little piece of pigskin. A field goal is only a field goal based on where the ball went. Am I right about that? A touchdown is only a touchdown based on where the ball is. A catch is only a catch based on whether the receiver had control of the ball. Everything depends on the ball. Perhaps your life is going okay or may even be going well. Your career is off to a good start. Right now your kids are giving you no trouble. And so you figure, I really don't need the Bible. But my friend, I want to tell you, it's all about the book. It's all about God's word. And today, as we have listened to God's holy word, it is my prayer that everyone in this room will make a recommitment. God, help me to value your word. Help me to treasure your word. Help me to live by your word. I pray that's our decision even now. My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.